Welcome to Candid Catholic Convos, a program brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. Our mission is to humanize the Church and help you to grow in your faith, love, and understanding. I'm your host, Rachel Trochet, a cradle Catholic who's only human and struggled with faith on more than one occasion. Each week, you'll hear engaging, down-to-earth interviews and actionable strategies you can implement into your life with ease to help you grow closer to God. If you're ready to open your heart and step fully into the person God created you to be, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Candid Catholic Convos. When I was six, I remember I wanted to work at a gas station when I grew up. You have to understand, at the time, I lived in New Jersey. And in New Jersey, you're not allowed to pump your own gas. So I would see these men come up to our car with these huge wads of cash. And like any six-year-old, I thought they got to keep it all. When that dream was crushed, I remember wanting to be a veterinarian. I wanted to take care of and pet all of the sick animals. But when I learned that I unfortunately wouldn't be able to save every animal that was sick, I wanted to take photos for National Geographic magazine. And to this day, my dreams and desires for my future have always centered around art in some way, shape, or form. Beneath all of that, though, no matter what my career was, I knew I wanted to be a wife and a mother right from the very beginning. That dream has never changed. There were a lot of things in my life that never worked out, but there were also a lot of things that did work out, and even more challenges that I'm still sometimes not sure how I made it through. But as we've said in previous episodes, God is a God of surprises. During those times of silence when it felt like God and I were friends who weren't talking, I remember hearing a quote that I clung to, and I still repeat when I feel like my prayers are going unheard. And if not, he is still good. If my plans don't work out, he is still good. If this job I want doesn't end up being mine, he is still good. If this house we're working for doesn't end up as ours, he is still good. And if everything falls apart tomorrow, he is still good. During that silence, God was asking me to trust him. I can see it now in hindsight, but when I was in it, or even now when I struggle in my personal life, I can't help but wonder if following my desires is selfish, if those desires were put there by God, or if it's something I'm supposed to let go of. Today we're talking with Donna Ghiberti, a spiritual director with the diocese who has lived several lifetimes before being formed as a spiritual director. From unexpectedly becoming a single mother to working in corporate America as well as the nonprofit space, being an active participant in parish life, planning pilgrimages, and finally heeding God's call of walking with others on their spiritual journey. Donna's going to help us unpack what our desires mean and how we can discern the difference between what we want versus what God wants for us. Donna, I'm so excited to have you as part of Candid Catholic Convos today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Rachel. I was truly excited about receiving the invitation and being here and the opportunity to talk about spiritual direction with those who may be listening.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Maybe if you could expand on what a spiritual director is and what kind of led you to this ministry.
Yeah, happy to do so. You asked about what is a spiritual director and what led me to this ministry. Well, first of all, the ministry of spiritual direction is also called the art of accompaniment. And that means walking with another person on their spiritual journey. We ask the questions like, how is the Lord speaking to us? Where are we on our pathway of holiness? And how do we attain the highest level of sanctity of which we're capable? God's created each of us to attain a certain level of holiness. We don't know what that is, but our role, our job, is to work along the trajectory of life to try to reach whatever that highest pinnacle is. that he has set forth for us. And spiritual direction really is an ancient tradition. It started many, many years ago with the desert mothers and fathers. And in those communities, those members would go out into the desert and pray like Jesus. They wanted to be alone with God. They wanted to fast and pray. And during those times of silence, they sought out the wise ones, who they called the wise ones, in order to hear the voice of God. Now, in today's world, it's a little different. It's hard to go out into the desert. We have our families, we have our jobs, we have homes, social responsibilities, family responsibilities. It's so hard to get away. We can't just walk away like that. And so we have to find those people in the world who can help us look into our inner core and find out the way, or I should say, discover the way that God is really speaking to us so that we can truly follow his will to live the fullest life that he created us to be. It's also important that we don't confuse spiritual direction with counseling or therapy. There's a real difference between all of those. So for instance, pastoral counseling and therapy is really focusing on one person's relationship with the other. So it's that human interaction. A spiritual director or a spiritual guide focuses on the individual's relationship with God. And what you're doing is you're looking rather than horizontally, person to person, you're looking vertically, human to God and God back to human. It's a beautiful relationship. And sometimes it does take another person to help us see what God may be asking of us or how he's speaking to us. The difference between a spiritual director and a spiritual guide is significant. Usually you hear the term spiritual director, but that's not technically correct. A spiritual director is someone who has at least a master's degree or PhD level studies and 5 years of experience as a spiritual guide. A spiritual guide is a graduate of a formation program such as the one that the diocese has and has earned a certificate in spiritual direction. You asked me what led me to this ministry. Wow, this was a long trajectory. And as I said, it's not common for a young person to do this. And as you'll hear, as I share a little bit about what led me to this, is that many life experiences, you have to go through the ups and downs of life. You have to go through the tough times, the easy times. You have to begin to learn that skill of discernment, of holy listening. And that takes a long time, unless you're someone who is extraordinary or incredibly saintly at a young age. You know, most of us, it's going to take us into our older years to have all of those experiences. So, for instance, when I first started out, I was a young single mom, as I mentioned, and I was what we call in the spiritual life a real beginner. I went to church, I had a faith, but I didn't really know God, and I didn't have any clue as to how God was working in my life. So when my oldest child was 7 years old, he was preparing for the Eucharist. I was asked by our DRE, Sister Jane Keller, who is now at St. John the Baptist in New Freedom. She asked me if I would assist with the CCD program. And I said, oh, sister, I don't know anything about that religion stuff. You know, you've got the wrong person. And she said, oh, come on, we'll give you everything you need to do this work. And I trusted her. So I said, all right, I'll do that. Well, I was hooked immediately. And I started teaching the CCD courses. I became a catechist and I went through every grade in elementary school. I started teaching the junior high classes. As my children grew older, I got into the senior high classes. And what I discovered was that I loved it. I went to all of the catechetical conferences. I took continuing education courses. And I just really, really enjoyed seeing the way that the children were growing in their faith, even though they're resistant, they're so often resistant, they were growing and I could see that and I was excited. Well, once the last child left CCD classes, I was then asked by the RCIA team to join them. And in my parish, we had a very large RCIA team. And I was asked to participate in that. And what I discovered was that I was opening up in a new way. I was learning so much about my faith that I really hadn't learned before. And I got so excited about seeing these people who are coming into the church. And we would get to the Easter Vigil every year. And my heart was like just bursting with joy. I was totally on fire with seeing how they had grown in their own holiness and in their spiritual and sacramental lives. It was beautiful. So at that point, I'm starting to be on fire with the Holy Spirit. I was so excited about things, and I felt this really deep call to evangelize in a new way. And this was right when Johnette Benkovic Williams had started Women of Grace. It was right about that time, 2005, 2006. And I was like, I think I could do that. I don't know why, but I think I could do that. I could lead those courses. So I began leading Women of Grace programs, then into Walking with Purpose programs. I led Bible studies. I invited guest speakers to our parish. And I organized a lot of programs in which I felt it had the opportunity to draw people closer to Christ. And my greatest desire was helping people grow in their faith and their relationship with God. Now, in my own personal life, my life of faith, my piety study were growing, and I was soaking it up, and I was reading every single thing that I could about the life of the church, the saints, and anything that would draw us closer to God in holiness. And I really was feeling such a personal transformation, but I was also able to see him working in the lives of others. And that's what really excited me. I also recognized that he had provided certain traits within my DNA, within my makeup, that were unique to me, as we all have those things. I couldn't do your job, and you maybe couldn't do my job. But I had those things that somehow related to people. And he was filling my spiritual toolbox with a much deeper prayer life at that time, too. And I came to an understanding that I couldn't just live the good Christian Catholic life of faith. I also had to develop a very strong life of prayer. And I started doing that in a much more purposeful way. Because I realized that that prayer wasn't just meant for me, but it was also meant for those others to whom I was trying to draw into the church in a much deeper way and closer to Christ. So one of God's early calls to action for me occurred through really extraordinary circumstances. He'll do that a lot of times. You know, he'll hit us on the head with something. He'll throw a brick at us, whatever. And it was one of those extraordinary circumstances that he made sure that I had his full attention. Now, I'm not going to go into the story now because it's really too long to tell. But as a result of that call to action, the Lord led me to 7 years of organizing and leading pilgrimages to the Shrine of Our Lady, Queen of Peace in Medjugorje. And what I realized that God was really using me as a conduit, like an electrical conduit, to simply get people to the meeting place where they would encounter that living God, not just the idea of God, but they would truly have that one-on-one personal connection with God. It was also there that they could encounter Jesus and the Blessed Mother in an extraordinarily personal way so that their hearts could be both healed and transformed. And Rachel, as all of these things were playing out in my life, I was still single. I was asking that question, what are you asking of me in my state of life, Lord? Do you want this? Is this what you want? Should I be seeking something else? And what I eventually learned and came to great peace about and actual joy about was that I realized that my single state in life seemed truly to be God's will. It really is. And it is pure gift. I can say today, after so many years as a single woman, a single mom, that it has been pure gift. And I truly embrace it. Today, I embrace it because I have the freedom to move and do whatever he asks, whenever he asks it. And I need, when the Lord needs me to go somewhere, when he needs me to do something, I can pick up and I can say yes. There is nothing holding me back. So what I had originally thought that I wanted in life turned out to be what I didn't need. I guess that's the best way of putting it.
That is incredible. Like, you have just lived like 100 lifetimes. And I love that it all kind of like comes, like it's all for a purpose. And it's only when we can really open our eyes and open our hearts that, like, I always, especially growing up, I was like, God, I know you have a plan, but could you just like give me a hint? Like, could I? Mm-hmm. So like when you start to recognize all those like little God winks and you're like, oh, that's what he was. I get it. Okay. In, I guess, like layman terms, like, because when I'm hearing a spiritual director, like my first instinct is kind of like, and not to diminish the impact of spiritual direction, or, but the first thing I think of is like an Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor, of like somebody who's been through it and been, you know, is now on the other side helping someone who's currently trying to figure it out along their way. Is that an accurate comparison? Or is that completely off base?
Well, what we are there to do is listening. It really is a ministry of listening. We aren't the ones who talk. It's the person on the other side of the table that's doing the talking. We're called guides and or directors and directees. So the director or the guide meets with the directee. The goal of the time together is for the directee to talk about what is going on in their life, in their relationship with God. And again, the art of accompaniment, we walk the journey with that person. We never tell them what to do. The term spiritual direction is a little bit misleading because we never direct someone to do something. We don't tell someone
or
what
hand them
to
a
do.
List of directions.
Not at all. It is helping them to hear the voice of God. It's helping them to recognize the signs and to see where God may be listening to them. And listening comes in many ways. We use the term listening, but it can be an interaction that you have with someone. It can be a conversation that you have someone. You may hear something on the radio. You may read something in a book. You may observe something. And all of a sudden, God takes that and he puts this spark into your mind like, I want you to take this. I want you to recognize that I'm giving this awareness to you for a reason. And so often you may take that to spiritual direction. You'll say, yeah, like I met this person, we had this discussion, we had this encounter, and I really felt like they were leading me to God, that there was something that they were telling me, and maybe they were asking them to participate in a committee. Maybe they were asking them to accept a job. Perhaps it was someone who asked a young person on a date. You never know. And you're saying, I want to know how these encounters lead me closer to Christ, or I want to know how I can grow closer to Christ within these encounters, and how I can hear the voice of God in the midst of all of this. So we talk about those things. The director, again, the spiritual guide, never says, you must do this. I recommend that. We may recommend readings. We may recommend certain teachings, certain prayer experiences or opportunities, but we won't tell you, you must convert your mind to this way of thinking. The only way we will do that is by making sure that what we are talking about is true to the teachings of the Catholic faith, that we remain faithful to church doctrine, church teachings, and also to the magisterium of the church.
Let's talk about, say I'm sitting down for spiritual direction or a spiritual guide. how do we, when you're working with someone, how can we discern the difference between what we want and the voice of God and what he wants for us?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, God created us all with free will. That was a beautiful gift that he gave us, and it's a gift that he will never take from us. So we always have that as a resource. We have to take a look at everything we encounter in life in which decisions need to be made. First of all, is it a good versus good decision? Is it a good versus bad decision? Is it a decision that involves a moral issue? Are our virtues? So a lot of it goes back to that listening experience that I talked about. One of the things that in our human nature we can often do is we can do little things like we choose to rebel. First of all, we can say, if I knew it had been like this, I would have never made that choice. It's not fair. I can't do it. I won't stand for it. I won't serve God that way. We have the free choice to do that. But this is where the holy listening comes in as well. Within our own prayer life, within the conversations we have, the discernment that we're making, it's important that we really try to listen to the voice of God and say, why are we rebelling? Why are we making these arguments? What are we trying to hold on to that we are afraid of letting go or we're resisting letting go of? Sometimes we may be afraid of a sense of failure. Sometimes we may be afraid of losing something. And part of that challenge is that in our human perspective, our vision is so limited. We can't possibly know what God has in store for us. So part of the art of discernment is trusting. And that's where that deeper life of faith comes in, is when you are beginning to grow in your prayer life, you're learning to trust more. You're learning to listen. You're learning to trust. You're learning to say, I know that I have free will, God. I know that you gave it to me, but now I'm willing to surrender it to you, give it over to you, because I know that you will only good for me. Although I can choose what I want to do, your will is for the highest good, because he's pure love. Mm-hmm. So all he wants for us is the purest love, the purest outcome. And I think if we always look towards that to say, Lord, what is the purest outcome? What is your desire for me? Then it's much easier to pull away those resistances, to pull away those things that act like an armor that shield us. You know, it's sometimes we put up a lot of shields. We put up a lot of armor around us. We have a lot of barriers oftentimes. And sometimes it's a barrier against God. Sometimes it's a barrier against other people. Sometimes it's a barrier against ideas. But when we're willing to just say, I'm going to drop all of that, I'm going to just let it all go, I'm going to let it fall to the ground, and I'm going to stand here completely vulnerable and completely accepting of whatever you give me, Lord. It might be frightening. It might be hard. It might be something that a decision that has to be made within a very short period of time, which can be frightening. But if we are training ourselves on an interior way to fully trust and to give everything over to him, dropping all of the armor is joy. It's not painful. And the more you do it, the more that you are free of everything, spirit, you have that spiritual freedom, everything becomes easier. And not that life is easy, but accepting the hard things becomes easier. Overcoming the challenges becomes easier. Deciding how to make a change becomes easier because you know that if you give it all to him, he has the perfect answer. And it doesn't always come in the time or the way that you want, but it will come. He will give it to you. He hears everything. In fact, if I can, I'd like to read a little quote that I found. I'm doing this beautiful Lent and Easter reflection with the Church Fathers. It's a USCCB book put out by their publishing company. And this is a little quote by Louis de Waal from his novel, The Last Crusader. And it says, "Praying for something or someone is a very dangerous endeavor. You are always heard, and no one ever really knows what they're asking. I would never ask anything without adding, if it's your will, if it's for my good, or something similar. Of course, sometimes God says no to our prayers, or so it seems. But when he does so, his no somehow turns into a flood of graces for someone else, and often for many others." And I read that because, for instance, when I was trying to discern about my state in life, and I was saying, like, what is this whole thing about being single forever? Is it okay? Should I pray for a holy Catholic husband? Should I do that? And then I realized through all of that true discernment for many years that the highest good could be achieved by remaining single, by being that feather in the wind that God can blow where he will to do what he wants. That's the highest good in my life. And so I embrace that single life.
Donna, this has all been so eye-opening. I can't wait to dive into this more with you next week. So for those of you listening on Spotify, make sure you're following Candid Catholic Convos so you'll get a notification when the new episode is live. And I will see you all again next week. Thank you so much for listening. Our goal at the Diocese of Harrisburg is to walk with you on your faith journey. So if this episode resonated with you in any way, the easiest way to show your appreciation is by sharing this program with your network or by leaving a review on your listening platform. You can also support us financially by making a donation online at hbgdiocese.org/DAC and clicking the Make a Donation button. Thanks again, and we'll see you at church on Sunday.